And on today's Windy City Careercast, everything you've wanted to know about our new 2009 Windy City gay idol, Amy Kelly, you are going to find out on this show. Her story is kind of similar to mine. What does it mean with women named Amy? Plus, we've got lots of news and what's going on in the entertainment world, but really, it's all about our new idol, and it's Amy Kelly on this Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Careercast, show number 315. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
And we are talking all things gay idol. And I know it happened a few weeks ago, but it took us a little while because she was in demand to get Amy Kelly to interview because she's now a hot tamale.
She's a hot tamale and a hot little lesbian.
That's
number,
right.
You know,
she's already performed at the Backlot Bash. She's soon to perform
at the
The big lesbian Backlot Bash.
Shut up. I bet she
Pride.
Tore that.
She did. People thought that they were playing Gloria Gaynor when she was doing I Will Survive. So there you go.
She is a star.
She's a star. And she was performing at the Blue Bayou also for,
Shut
the,
up.
For the heteros. With
I
her.
Bet the heteros loved her.
The heteros loved her.
She just has something when she walks on a stage, you go, who's that?
Exactly. And all three of our top three finalists will be performing at the SoFo Tea Dance that is coming up here in 2 weekends, July, what is July 17th, 18th, one of those dates, 19th, I don't know.
I love the Marla.
Pick up the night spots.
I
and
love
Marla was
the Marla.
Our runner-up.
Now, Marla was a runner-up last year, right?
Yes, she was.
So I saw Marla out. Like this was the week, the next weekend, right? I was doing this thing at Second Story at Atmosphere, and she walked up, and she said that someone had walked up to her at Midsummer Fest or something and said, did you win? Did you win? No, I didn't. I'm still coming second. And the guy said, but you came in second last year, didn't you? And she said, yes. And she goes, you're the, oh, what's her name? You're the Susan Lucci of Windy City Gay Idol.
Yes.
And she told me she's getting the t-shirt made.
There you go.
She's getting a t-shirt made to say she's the Susan Lucci.
She is the Susan Lucci of Windy City.
I adore her.
And you know
she's
what? Susan
hilarious.
Lucci is amazing. So
well,
you're in good
so
company.
So is Marla. And Marla's really... as much of a like stand, deliver, knock the hell out of these songs, kind of brilliant, interesting in her own style singer. Hilariously funny.
Yeah. I've never seen her do her comedy, so I want to see her do her thing.
Oh, but we spent the evening together kind of talking about people. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
We should have recorded
And then there's that, what's Brad? Is
Brad, cutie patootie, who does all this throwback stuff.
What the dressed, hell?
Dressed like a lumberjack.
He dressed like a lumberjack and then sang... what was the Johnny Cash thing he sang? A song he sang?
Song he sang.
He sang, it wasn't Ring of Fire. It was the other one. It was something.
He sang Folsom Prison Blues.
And then he sang Love Will Keep Us Together. Who the hell sings Folsom
Captain
Prison Hitchell. Blues?
Mm-hmm.
And then Love Will Keep Us
and
Together.
And then Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison.
Genius.
Anything you want, you got it.
You got it. I wanted him to have a costume change, but he's a cute little bear.
Well, he was working the bears that night, let me
he
tell you.
He was working the bears, and that's not a bad demographic to work, because they love the gay idol, the bears do.
It was It's a fun. You know, the thing about it, if you don't go to Gay Idol, mm-hmm. you're missing out.
You're missing out on, to me, what's like one of the best gay experiences it really of, is. The, of the Pride
because you, you're like, oh, I don't know about this. But you go, everyone who goes, oh, I've got to come back. It's great. It's and so what's great fun. Is when you go to one of the bars, you have to go to at least five of the bars. You have to do something like, literally. Because then you can
stalk us.
You do. Because then you see who places.
Yeah.
Then you go to the semifinals and you see what they do. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the finals. It's like watching people. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
They bring it for the finals.
Yeah.
They don't fucking play.
Yeah.
They were bringing their A game.
Yeah.
Everybody was.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because we had so much talent that it wasn't even in the top three. There was just so much talent this year. And
was it Michael who played for himself?
Michael played for himself. And we actually
wrote
just,
his own
arrangements
of Rihanna's Umbrella.
We just played actually on one of our last past shows, one of the past few shows. We just played one of his originals on our Queercast. So that's cool. Yeah, very talented kid.
And let me tell you, the best ass in Chicago. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, and he twittered from his American Idol experience trying to get an American Idol golden ticket. I don't know what happened.
He didn't
get all the way through.
I heard about it.
But
he's now a friend of mine on the Facebook.
Oh, the Facebook.
But I just hope I get another picture of his amazing ass. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I just still am resistant to the Facebook, but I do love for you all to follow me on Twitter, Amy Matheny.
I've got a golden ticket.
I like it. I like to be able to say things. Hey, you know, we didn't talk about this in the last show, and I just have to talk about it for just a few minutes.
So
and then really the whole show is going to be about Amy Kelly.
Hold me.
Hold me. You sound like Miss Billings. Wondering what your thoughts are on Dame Alaska Governor Sarah Palin stepping down and resigning.
Well, it's just
on the 4th of July. I mean, how patriotic
here's
is that?
Here's the deal.
Thank God.
Well, I think was it the 3rd or the 4th?
God bless something? Our country.
Well, Chicago didn't celebrate weirdly. But it just made me go, oh, look what she's doing.
What do you think she's doing?
Oh, she's totally positioning herself to run for the national office.
Yeah.
She's totally doing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these how desperate are these Republicans? I mean, they're just reaching for anything in the world when what they should be doing is going to a cave somewhere and figuring out who the hell they are and coming back.
Yeah.
Because they should be, you know, okay.
Having made it since there's about 14 of them left.
I mean, really, they don't know what the... Bobby Jindal? That's who you're putting out there is Bobby Jindal? This idiot that's... He's like the guy that's the assistant on 30 Rock. The little guy, it's exactly who he is. It's fascinating that they...
So you think that she's quitting, which thank God the people of Alaska will get a reprieve, but you think
well, who's going to be watching Russia is what I want to know. Who is going to be watching Russia from now on?
But
we're screwed. The Cold War is on.
You think she's going to run?
She's got to run. She has to run. She, of course, will run. I mean, it's ridiculous that she can run.
Oh, my God.
I mean, here it is. Let's talk about what destroyed her chances. Katie Couric.
Yeah.
When you're taken down in an interview with Katie Couric, we're not talking like Amanpour. We're talking Katie Couric.
Christiane Amanpour.
It's not that. It's Katie Couric who talks about hairstyle. You know what I mean? Look at the shoes. And she's taken down by Katie Couric.
Yeah.
Who was a genius in the interview? Because anybody else, they would have said it was too bad. They were being too mean to her. So it had to be Katie Couric. And yet, if you can't handle Katie Couric, what are you going to do?
You're screwed.
With, you know, Hamas. What are you going to do, dear? Come on. Speaking of Hamas, if I can't wait for this freaking movie. I can't wait for Bruno.
Yeah.
I know some gay people may not like it.
Yeah.
But I just saw a clip where he thinks that Hamas is hummus.
Yeah. Hummus.
Genius.
40 spices.
I just think it's freaking... And the
I think it's going to be offensive, but we'll see what Richard Knight Jr.
I hope it's
thinks.
Offensive, and I can't wait.
Yeah.
Because he has that white belt on, and the people in the thing are going, what is that belt, soldier?
Yeah.
He goes, D&G, hello.
D&G, hello.
And he goes, what is D&G? Dolce & Gabbana, hello.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it.
He's so crazy.
But don't you think she's going to... I think she's exactly what she's going
to
do.
She is going to run, and I think it'll be interesting to see how her family continues to implode. God love them
all. God,
but,
help her.
But
I think they should run Levi Johnston. Just take his shirt off and run him.
Yeah, I don't know. Boy, that MySpace page must be interesting these days. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch... If she is, it's going to make it super fun. It's going to be a super fun circus. But, you know, we thought that it was going to be a super fun circus with Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up winning and winning again. So, I mean,
well,
I can't
say
it terrifies
me. You know, at least Sarah doesn't have someone in Florida
who's her sister or her brother,
yeah,
who can stack everything.
She has desperate, crazy, ultra-conservative Republicans. I mean, they're desperate.
Did she give all the clothes back? That's what I want to know. Did she give all the clothes back? Who got all the clothes, Sarah?
But here's my thought. My thought, it's not a really profound one, so I don't
know why I said that. Here's my thought. Who does her hair?
Who does her hair? I really have to say, and I got into a huge argument the other night. Not argument, but I'm just going to go there. Here we go. I'm not real happy with Obama right now.
See, I'm the only homosexual who's like, just give him a little time.
Now, I hope you are, because everybody knows this is no big...
Now, the thing that just came
out,
the thing that came, his assistant did that whole thing. Did you see this? Or his campaign manager, that 20-something homosexual, put something out that did not mention Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and did not mention the Defense Marriage Act. Didn't mention two of the biggies that we've all been talking about. That's a little disconcerting to me. I just feel like I feel like Obama, unlike Clinton, and I know I'm in the minority here, is that this is not Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who understands the entire workings of that place.
Mm-hmm.
And he will do what he can do when he can do it. Mm-hmm. But if we push him to force his hand, we're going to lose out. I think that's what we're going to do. I think we're pushing a man to play a game he knows he shouldn't play right now. And if we give him a year...
Why?
Because he has to play a game. It's politics.
I know, but if he plays it too close, he's not going to be playing it in the last 2 years of his first term, because then he's going to be in election time.
But will he get it if he does it now?
If he had done it, he should have. Here's my thing,
but
Stephen.
Clinton tried to do it in his first few months.
I know he did, but you just said he's not Clinton. He's not Clinton, and he's not a cowboy. And here's the thing, Clinton. The difference is, and I like Obama. This is not personal. And everybody who listens to this Queercast, it all knows I was a Hillary supporter. But Obama caught us all up in this wave of I am change. This is our country. It is not, me. It's we. And it's very interesting. And this is how the whole conversation started. It was a friend of mine, my friend Anna, said to me, I was thinking of you the other day because I've been really always questioning what this first 90 days, 100 days, first year of his presidency will look like. You know, this government of the people, by the people, and this we mentality, and also this change. And right now, we haven't had any change.
Well, we knew that
We've had bank bailouts. We've had more troops to Afghanistan. We have Don't Ask, Don't Tell maintaining itself while we're sending more troops to Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So our troops are still worn the fuck out if they're going to Afghanistan or they're going back to Iraq. I just feel like, with the economy, we haven't seen anything significant happening with healthcare. You know, all of the stuff that was supposed to be changed, it's more of the same. Yeah. I don't see any change at all.
I see
like twittering, and I'm not downing twittering because I love it. But I see, social networking. I see, great, we get to go inside Dateline and he's cool enough to go get a burger with, whoever's interviewing him. And he's accessible. But, as Bill Maher said the other day on Politically Incorrect, which I totally agree with, you put an organic garden in the White House front lawn and invite little kids over doesn't really do anything for healthcare. Doesn't really do anything. These platforms, these publicity moments. And even if that wasn't one big red flag, and this is what my friend Anna said to me, she said, I thought it was very interesting when he invited all the gay people, invited all us gays.
I was there.
To the White House for Pride. And he said,
hold up.
And he has said this before. He said, I have been fighting two wars. I've had some big things to tackle. Okay, once again, singular now. Did we ever hear I? We heard all the we. Everything was deflected from it being about him. I. No I statements, really, at all in his campaign. It was about we.
About.
And then he said, I think if you just let me get to this end of this administration, you guys will be very happy with what I've done. And once again, it's like, you guys. Not that this is about what's better for us, what's better for the nation, what's just fucking fair and right.
I completely agree.
And I think it's telling. I'm not sure if it's extremely conscious, but because he does have some consciousness in his book, which I do have, it's sitting right in front of us, The Audacity of Hope, where he says, I may fall on the wrong side. History may show that I fell on the wrong side of this issue of gay marriage. And gay marriage to me is the least of it, but it has to be now because, you know, it's where we are.
I just feel like
that's my soapbox, but I've really been wanting to chew on it.
Because I think,
you know, Judy Shepherd came on this show 2 years ago or more, but definitely 2 years ago with the build-up to the election. And she said on this show, and whatever, you know, I mean, she has been a force for the gay community. And she said, once we get them elected, we have to hold them accountable. And I just think that we have to hold this man accountable.
Like what we do, I feel like this is, again, I'm not very popular. I'm not very popular with my beliefs. I feel like we push issues. We get so hot and bothered and become such drama queens about so many things that we push and we push and we push. And we push at the wrong time. We push the wrong people into these holes that they can't get out of.
Yeah.
And then we fuck ourselves. I personally believe that we're the reason that Bush got elected the second time, because I think the world was able to go, gay marriage, look over here, the queers want to get married, and they were able to shove this into, they were able to lie and cheat and steal and shove wars in.
They were, but that was because
the whole world was looking at gay marriage.
Yeah, but that wasn't our fault.
We
ate that. They set that up.
They set it right in front of us, and we ate it. We ate it up like a motherfucker.
Well, we kind of got ran into the corner. You kind of had to be there. I mean, we became the scapegoats for that election.
Oh, I understand that. But we still do it.
But it didn't work in this last election with Obama. It did not work at all.
But
you know?
We still go into things that, I don't know. To me, it just feels like this is not
Clinton.
But
we have to be pushing right now. We have to be. He got us on a train of that we have the power, we the people. We have the power to motivate change. We're going to have to work hard for it. It's going to not always look the way we want it to look, and that's fine. He should understand the push that we're doing against him right now. I'm sure he probably does.
I just feel like we don't listen. We don't, as gay people, don't listen to all. When we, of all people, should listen to all sides of a coin. Or all
but Stephen, come on, don't ask, don't tell has been going on since the Clinton administration. So how many years? It's been 16 years. And we're at a place now where we are so strapped as a country and our resources on our men and women that it's like, you know, come on. Really? You're worried about being on a ship with a gay guy? Because let's not, you know, one of my friends.
But what would happen to him if he takes an executive order and gets rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Yeah.
Let's just talk about what would happen to him.
Yeah.
What would, I mean, can you imagine the
I think it would blow over so quickly, it would be gone. I really do. And one of my friends played devil's advocate with me the other night and said, but I think then there'll be all this, you know, we just did a news story in our last show about the guy August something the third who was just killed, the provost, and you know, I mean, and she said, you know, don't you think there'll just be so many more killings and so many more whatever? And I'm like, I don't think that the queens and the gay gals in the army and military are going to like hang up their disco balls and putting their girlfriends' pictures on. What it means is that they can't be, you know, run out of their, you know, run out of just kind of their private lives. And, you know, we're having the killings anyhow. We're having the abuse anyhow. And we're definitely having amazing people be thrown out. Yeah. And they're not even the people that are sleeping in a submarine, you know, on top of another guy. They're people who, like, you know, translate and
like
do desk jobs.
I agree.
You know, I feel like we're
putting so much pressure on him.
But that would be like, would we put pressure on, you know, the president to let women go to the factories during World War, you know, II? I mean, it's just crazy. It's like we come to a point where we have no resources. And this is because we live in a land of credit. And this is what's happening with our economic situation. And it's what's happening to the human spirit of like, well, it doesn't really mean anything. I mean, it's fine to say, for Obama to say, well, I want to have our troops be protected and and I'm going to make sure they're given the things that the Republican administration didn't give them. Well, how about like giving them some more people to do some of the fucking work and stop kicking out people who are totally, mm-hmm. you know, this to me is not about gay marriage. I really feel very passionately about this military, mm-hmm. about the troops, because I feel that, you know, these wars continue, you know, and those are just the two areas that we even talk about with Iraq and Afghanistan. We don't even talk about where our military men and women are everywhere else. And we are so behind the times, like almost the entire European Union, the entire EU has gays serving in their militaries who serve alongside us. So this is just, this to me is chaos.
Alexander
lowest
the Great. Come
common
on. Think
denominator.
About Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
The biggest.
I just think of Brad Pitt. Was that him? Colin Farrell. Whoever.
I mean, Alexander the Great. Big old homosexual. I mean, would we catch him out? No.
I don't think so.
I hear your passion and I completely agree with it. I'm just one of the men. I can't believe I have this opinion.
Well, I'm willing to give him time. It's not that I just feel like, you know, I feel like he should have gone in and aggressively done
something. And if he had done that,
we
would have Clinton part two. I really do.
Maybe. Electric Boogaloo.
Can you imagine if it had been, how? I don't know. But if it had been worse than Don't Ask, Don't Tell, how could you have been worse than Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
I don't know. I don't know.
I agree with everybody and I agree with what people are saying. I just look at it and go, wow. You really want to push him on this? You really, really want to push him?
Well, let me just say that Sarah Palin announces in 8 months that she is running for, it will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
It will never happen then. So if we don't do it now, so it can die down, we're going to be screwed. So he's a window of opportunity and it is closing to make some of these changes.
I've never thought about what you're saying and you're very right.
Because as soon as he can't make any of these broad gestures. He needed to make all his broad gestures in the first 120 days.
Wouldn't you rather have a president? I mean, this is me. This is absolutely me. And I know there's a lot of things wrong with him. But when you're talking about the other Republican that I adored so much, help me.
McCain?
Not McCain, but...
The guy Romney?
The guy that should have ran on the green ticket. What's his name? Oh, Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
But with Ron Paul, I would listen to Ron Paul and go, I think what you're saying right there is bullshit. I think this is bullshit. I agree with this. I agree with this. I think this is bullshit. But with Ron Paul, I knew in my heart that whatever that man decided to do, he was going to do it.
Yeah.
And he would not change his mind.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't downshift into neutral.
Yeah.
Because this is what I think.
Yeah.
We haven't had a politician that's gone from campaign to office like that in my lifetime that I remember. I don't remember anybody saying that they're into this and then going in and just doing it.
Bush. Bush's 8 years of his presidency was, I don't need about Patriot Act. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to name it something real pretty and patriotic, and I'm going to now...
If you think he wrote that.
Fuck your... But his administration. Yeah. He was the face, you know?
He's the face.
I mean, he is. He's the figurehead.
He's like Bruce
it's like Reagan.
Jenner on a
he's
box
the
of
face.
Weeds.
Yes, and so was Reagan. You know? I don't know. We're off
that
on a
whole
political
fucking,
tangent.
That whole fucking... And we put goddamn Reagan's statue in the... Was the Capitol building that had the statue of Reagan up now? Oh, my God.
He wanted to add his face to Rushmore or something.
I mean,
crazy.
Can you imagine? And you know, I bet that Nancy was like sitting there going, I can't drink any water because Ronnie's behind me. You know, like, I'm sure she felt like that.
Yeah.
You know, because come on.
Nutty.
When is that bitch going to die? Let's have a party. Let's have a Nancy Reagan is dead party.
Oh!
I can't wait for that kind
of
die.
That will be crazy.
I said this. I said the wrong word. Yes, but she's horrible. Can't believe her. And I can't believe that young gay people look at Reagan... I don't understand what the difference is. I mean, every time that I see that man, when I saw his little statue jump up on my computer,
he was just a figurehead.
But
he was just a face.
But if that man had said AIDS, if that man had said AIDS in 81, a lot of people would have lived.
So here's the devil's advocate to your thing. You know, Obama needs to have some cojones. He needs to have some cojones, and he needs to make it be a little more messy. And because right now he's not. He's the man not saying AIDS right now to me. And I think it's going to be a problem.
You're right.
And we're not outraged enough about it. And maybe we're starting to be, but you know.
Well, you think we're not, and I think we are, but yet what you just said to me made me change my mind almost. Because you're right. If we get to a place in a year when we're approaching re-election,
yep.
He won't touch it.
Yep. That's why we got to get the hate crimes bill passed. We got to get all this stuff
Look
passed.
At that. People who think I'm an asshole who can't change his mind, guess what?
He just did.
Just did.
Maybe did. Maybe guess just a what? Little bit.
So I think I should be dating somebody.
I think you should be dating somebody, and I think we should go eat some raw cookie dough.
Oh! So, hell yeah.
We're going to let the news, Kirk Williamson, join me with some news, tell you what's going on in the theater scene, and Amy Kelly, our Windy City Gay Idol, on
love
the
her.
Show with
love
us
her.
Today.
Love her. I met her mother. Love her.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
In California, a Sacramento law firm representing a group of angry parents in a diversity lawsuit has billed a school district $14,000. The parents sued the school district after lesbian minister Reverend Arlene Nehring spoke to Castro High Valley students about coming out and the acceptance of alternative lifestyles.
Following a meeting with the district attorney for a San Francisco man who allegedly robbed and killed 74-year-old retiree Clifford Lambert will not face the death penalty if found guilty. Kashal Nirula, two of his on-again, off-again lovers, and his friend are charged with stealing the assets of Lambert, who disappeared last year and is presumed dead.
The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, has launched a new project to fight homophobia in virtual communities by focusing on networked PC games, social networks, online gaming, and virtual worlds. The organization will host a groundbreaking panel discussion in Silicon Valley on July 18th.
Naftali Offen, president of the Coalition of Lavender Americans on Smoking and Health, or CLASH, received this year's American Lung Association's C. Everett Koop Unsung Hero Award in recognition of his decades-long fight against the tobacco industry. Among the accomplishments, Offen co-founded CLASH in 1991 to call attention to the damage tobacco causes to the LGBT community.
Sam Adams, the mayor of Portland, Oregon, has been cleared in the case involving former legislative intern Beau Breedlove. Adams had been under investigation by the State Department of Justice ever since he admitted to lying during his mayoral campaign about a relationship with Breedlove. Adams denied that Breedlove was under 18 when they embarked on a sexual relationship.
In world news, in England, lesbian Joanne Wood, 53, has been jailed for 4.5 years for conning people out of almost £100,000 sterling, which is approximately $164,000, in an internet scam. Wood claimed she was dying of cancer and needed money for life-saving treatment. She has been jailed for similar offenses, along with one jail term for impersonating a police officer.
Valdas Adamkus, the president of Lithuania, has blocked the law on protection of minors against the detrimental effect of public information, a new law that would have banned pro-gay materials from schools.
In entertainment news, Indian actor John Abraham has praised the decision of the Delhi High Court to legalize homosexuality. Abraham, who is considered one of that country's hottest gay icons, said, "I think in a democratic country like India, it was very important to give homosexuals their due." Abraham played a heterosexual man who pretended to be gay in the movie Dostana.
In an anti-Prop 8 campaign, Steve O of Jackass and Dancing with the Stars kisses another man. Steve O, in a no-hate ad, puckers up with his bodyguard, Reggie Big Reg Pace. The daredevil, who called the initiative a disappointment, said that if he could marry any other male, it would be fellow dancing alumnus Giles Marini, calling the Sex and the City actor an absolute cockthrob.
There may be some truth to the rumor that Smashing Pumpkins lead singer Billy Corgan is bisexual. Unzipped.net twice received a comment about one of its models, Marcus Mojo, that read, "I want to have sex with you, the letter U." The message sender's signature included a link to Corgan's official Twitter page.
And having just finished the Tony Awards, out actor Neil Patrick Harris is reportedly close to signing a deal to host the upcoming Emmy Awards. Harris, who stars as womanizer Barney on CBS's How I Met Your Mother, would host the show on September 20th.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Mega Minute. Sacha Baron Cohen may be the first comedian in history who will die in order to get a laugh. That was the first thing I thought when I came out of Bruno, the extreme gotcha comedy from Cohen in which his character, the brainless gay Uber fashionista, goes from one outrageous set piece to another. But how far can this comedic terrorist go before he pisses off the wrong person as the cameras are rolling? Cohen's comedy relies on portraying flagrantly stereotypical characters and then presenting these characters to their real-life counterparts or their polar opposites, who play right into his hands. When Cohen's in character, all the world really is a stage, and lots of unsuspecting folks from the lunatic fringe make up his supporting cast. So, when portraying the uber-gay Bruno, it's easy to guess from whence the comedy will spring. Look out, rednecks, conservatives, and all manner of fame-seeking wannabes. Bruno's loose in his quest to become, quote, the biggest Austrian since Adolf Hitler, unquote, and he's about to record your idiocy and homophobia for the world to laugh hysterically at. The picture points out, and again, as Barat did, that for a comedic terrorist like Sacha Baron Cohen, American must surely be nirvana. The possibilities of finding idiotic folks ready to do anything for some camera FaceTime based on the evidence here is seemingly limitless. So, is it offensive to gays? My instinctual answer is no. Oh, I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people, gay and straight, offended by the outrageous havoc, much of it easily categorized as vulgar on one end, obscene on another, that Bruno creates. Folks who just won't get that Cohen's playing on stereotypes are those who are made nervous by his in-your-face approach. But there is something to be said about not just being in on the joke, but being the reason for it in the first place. I know I'll be quoting lines from Bruno along with many of my queer and, I suspect, straight brethren long after Cohen has moved on to his next outrage. A comedy that can present gay stereotypes in such a blatant, over-the-top manner that can make one laugh uncontrollably, expose ignorant homophobes right and farther right, and throw in several curveballs in our celebrity-obsessed culture and touch on several hot-button issues central to our people at the same time? Sign me up, girlfriend. Two snaps up, way up for Bruno. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute.
Every night at the LaSalle Bank Theater, the curtain goes up on Jersey Boys, and something amazing happens. The music plays and the story unfolds as the show flies by. Four blue-collar kids turn into pop superstars, and 2,000 ticket holders turn into Jersey Boys fanatics. I love you, baby, and if it's quite all right, ask anyone who's seen it, like critic Chris Jones in the Tribune, who calls Jersey Boys the most exciting new musical in years. Or Hetty Weiss in the Sun-Times, who says, this show is pure platinum, a supercharged knockout. Don't wait another minute to get your tickets. Oh, Jersey Boys, see it now. Just call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week, July 6th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Blessed with luxuriant instrument, he probably sounds great singing the weather forecast, says the Chicago Tribune. Don't miss David Edelfelt in Everything's Going My Way, a look at life, love, and letting go through the music of Porter, Gershwin, Sondheim, and Bacharach. with Becky Minzy on piano. Come see what the standing ovations are all about. Sunday, July 12th at 3 o'clock at the Village Players Performing Arts Center, 1010 West Madison in Oak Park. Tickets are only $25. Visit village-players.org.
Snow White is back. Mid-Tangent Productions presents the return of Snow White and the Seven Drag Queens at Hydrate Nightclub. The Chicago Reader says Snow White redefines fierce, and the Windy City Times says it's a fun drag romp. Go and have a gay time. Fridays and Saturdays now through the 25th at 9 p.m. Only $10. Get tickets at tix.com or purchase at the door.
Jazz Dance World Festival 2009 comes to the Harris Theater in Millennium Park for four nights only, July 22nd through the 25th. Featuring 15 American and international dance companies, including host company Giordano Jazz Dance Chicago, the Chicago Sun-Times calls Jazz Dance World Festival fiery and breathtaking. For tickets, visit harristheaterchicago.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
I'm Amy Armstrong.
I'm Freddie Allen.
And you're listening to WindyCityQueerCast.com.
So it's official, folks. This is the very first interview with the new 2009 Windy City Gay Idol, Amy Kelly. And like I say, anybody named Amy is okay in my book until you cross me, and then you're off. You're out of my book. But this woman's not crossed me at all. We crossed paths with her right here. We're actually hanging out in the back patio on a gorgeous day at SoFo. And it was somewhere. A little more than a month ago that you showed up here to sing. It was a packed, I'm painting the picture, folks, for those of you not here. It was literally jam-packed in SoFo from inch to inch. People were spilling off into the patio, and I feel like you sang very early in the night.
You sang first.
And Amy Kelly comes out busting out some prints, and the crowd goes nuts. And at the end of the night, she was definitely a favorite of the bar and was moving on to the semifinals. So welcome to you, Amy Kelly.
Thank you.
You were once just like a little contestant, and now you're an idol.
Yeah.
Idol icon, Amy Kelly. And as I love saying that you're my partner's name is Kelly, and so as soon as I found out your last name was Kelly, I thought there was kismet happening already.
I like kismet. That's
so good. Congratulations.
Stuff. Thank you very much.
Are you still riding on the high?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm still riding on the high. Yeah. It's exciting.
It's
a lot of fun, you know?
I want to go back. I want to know, where are you from?
I'm from the Chicago area, but I grew up in Glen Ellen, which is a western suburb.
And you have a happy childhood?
Oh,
you
have a... I'm one of eight.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you really?
One
Catholic?
Of eight. Catholic, Irish. My parents moved out of the city and went to the suburbs and grew up out there and got a great family. And
Now, are there lots of girls?
No.
Or mostly boys?
Mostly boys. There's three girls and five boys, so I grew up with the boys.
Yeah.
So it's not a shock that...
Where do you fall?
I'm seventh out of eight.
Seventh of eight. Do you know my best friend is seven of eight?
Really?
Her license plate says seven of eight.
Does it?
Yeah.
She's
at the Cubs game today with all her family for a big benefit.
That's awesome.
Every year, so...
Yeah, I'm number seven. That's my favorite number.
And you're a Cubs fan with the T-shirt.
I'm a Cubs fan, yep.
Amy, there's just so many reasons to like you already. There's so many reasons. So I have to get this out of the way because this was kind of a running joke at semifinals and finals once we started seeing what a dynamo you were on stage. You're totally single.
I'm totally single.
How is this possible?
I don't know.
You got so much charisma. Are they scared of you?
I don't know.
They just can't handle the charisma and the talent and all of it?
I'm looking. I'm looking, but
what are you looking for?
A girl.
Okay.
You know?
That rules out 50%.
There you go.
A gay girl.
A gay girl.
Hopefully.
Right?
That rules out another. Yeah. Now we're down to 10% of that half.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I must, but I'm not doing something right. So.
No, that's not true. That's not true. You're living a different path right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, what do you look for in in a partner or somebody?
Definitely personality.
Yep.
Good sense of humor. Honesty. You know, loyalty, trustworthiness.
Yep.
Looks are good too.
Yeah.
Good in the sack.
Good in the sack. That's good. We like that. Hey, nobody wants somebody bad in the sack.
Well, you gotta
you
have
don't hear anybody go, what am I looking for? Somebody who's really like a one in the sack. That's what I'm looking for.
You gotta have that chemistry. If you don't have it, it's just not gonna work.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know what it is that I'm still single.
Yeah.
I'm a big dork.
You're not a big dork. This is it. This is the charm. This is the charm, the self-effacing charm that's really a dynamo in disguise. So let's talk about, why did you compete?
Some friends of mine were bugging me to do it last year, but I couldn't because I had too many family commitments.
Okay.
And, cousins getting married and, out of town and stuff. And I was like, I was like, no way, I'm not going to do that. It's too, it's like there's a lot of good singers out there, and I don't want to. Pressure and this
because it's competing.
It's competing.
It's doing something maybe you do for fun.
Yeah.
When
it comes down to a competition, it's like whoa.
Yep.
So my friends Michelle and KP this year they were like, Amy Kelly, you swore last year that you would do it this year. You promised, and I was like, okay, I think.
So
I'll
how
do
do
it.
They know? Do you do a lot of karaoke? Do you sing for a lot of things?
I have a band.
Okay.
So I play out like once a month.
Yeah.
Like once or twice a month.
So you've been trying to kind of like have a music career for a while?
Yeah,
always have to have music in your life?
I come from a big Irish Catholic family. We've always had a lot of music. All my cousins are musicians. And all the family parties, it's always singing and playing guitars and stuff like that.
You play guitar?
I don't.
Okay.
I have two, but I don't play.
Yeah.
I'm looking for someone to teach me.
Maybe your girlfriend. Maybe your new girlfriend.
My new girlfriend.
Maybe your guitar instructor.
She's out
there. Maybe you should start, trying to get some guitar lessons.
That's what everyone keeps saying. She's out there. I'm like, where?
Yep.
Where?
Yep. You keep living life. She's going to come colliding across you, I have a feeling.
Yeah. So they talked me into it. At first, I wasn't going to do it, and then I kind of got the chops up to do it.
Yeah. When you said you were going to do this, how did you pick your first song? How did you pick Prince? I mean, Prince is always kind of a favorite, but...
I sang it one other time at karaoke, and everybody liked it, so...
Because you did Kiss, right?
Yeah, no, I did Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, that's right.
And I love that song. I love Prince, but I love that song.
Do you still love Prince now that he may be a homophobe?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay, well, I won't dash your idol fears.
I don't support people that are homophobes.
So, all right, well, you'll have to start Googling.
Okay.
Prince and the Gays.
Hey, really?
Yeah, he's been kind of hard on us, but
I'll never sing that song again.
Oh, no!
No, I won't. That's terrible.
He could come around.
I thought he
was gay.
You
know, if gay people boycotted his karaoke, he would probably come around, don't you think?
Well, I thought he was gay.
Well, ish.
Ish.
Right?
Ish. Yeah, there's a lot of those out there.
There's a lot of ish and swish. Who knows?
Yeah, so I like the song and I
Do you get nervous?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you were nervous that night?
Yes, very.
And you had a couple of Miller Lights?
Especially when you said I was first. I was like, oh my God.
No, they're so nice, our judges, to people who go
they
first.
They were so
nice.
They were so nice. And I did have a couple of Miller Lights.
There you go. That helped you.
Yeah. A little liquid courage.
So did you have early influences and were those reflected in what you chose to sing throughout the competition?
Yes. My sisters are a lot older than me, but there's a big age span in the family, but down in the basement, they had records galore, and it was always Aretha Franklin and Janis Joplin and, some Led Zeppelin and hanging out with my poor older brothers and sisters had to contend with us, me and my two brothers who were younger, and we were always hanging out down there and was just like, jamming out to records. Janis Joplin and Aretha Franklin all the time.
Yeah, so you sang at the finals,
Respect as your first song for your first round. You sang Dusty Springfield as your second song. Icon herself, Dusty
I love Dusty Springfield. I love her.
You ever date a preacher's son?
I have not. No.
Yeah, I have.
You have?
Paul Hinson. Yes, in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Nice.
Different kind of preacher. Well, I guess you would have been a priest, and that wouldn't have happened,
yeah.
right? Because you're Catholic,
yeah.
and I'm
yeah.
Southern Methodist, so... And lots of Baptists and
lots of other preachers.
Kind of people. No, they're just all preachers. Everybody's a preacher.
No preachers.
You really did Dusty proud. I think it's...
Thank you.
I think it's hard to hear people do Dusty in a way that's really true to her. And at the same time, you weren't trying to be any of these singers. I mean, you were entirely your own vocalist. But there is a similar quality to when I say like a Dusty Springfield, a Janis Joplin, and Aretha Franklin that is this kind of strong, fierce, weathered... honest,
yeah.
raw sound. Yeah.
Well,
does that describe you as a person?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
So yeah. how has your sexuality played out in that? I mean, has that been a hard thing for you to grapple with? Because you were saying at the end of Idol and on our video, which we have posted on our Queercast blog and on our website, you were saying how cool it is to just be able to be out and proud and have family here. Has it always been that easy for you coming from a Catholic family?
No, it was really hard. And so it was nice to have some of my family members there and my cousins, and because it's...
And your mom was there.
I know, my mommy.
That's just so
amazing.
Isn't
that sweet? But no, it...
Did she know you were competing the whole time through?
No. No one really knew. I didn't really tell anyone until I told my sister that I had this competition coming up. She was like, I'm coming in. And so then my mom came in too, kind of to surprise me, and it was a surprise. So,
yeah.
But no, it hasn't been easy. It's been easier now. But when I first came out, no, it was.
What age did you come out?
Not too long ago.
Yeah, really.
30.
Yeah.
So, I was older.
Yeah.
I think I always knew.
Yep.
But it just big Catholic family.
Yeah.
It's just something that I was like, why do I have crushes on girls? I always knew, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I just was, didn't.
Were you kind of living the lie and trying to be with guys?
Kind of.
And
totally.
You were totally
living the lie. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was like, aren't you tired?
Yeah.
Aren't you tired? Aren't you exhausted from lying? I was like, that was like, yes, I am. I'm tired. I want to be comfortable.
Was there like a moment? Was there an aha moment of like, I just gotta be authentic, and I've got to come out, and I've got to just start living this way?
Yes.
Can you share that, or is it too personal to share?
No, it's
I always think these stories help, because we always think that our story is so unique, or we think that where we're stuck, and we have so many people who listen to the podcast, who maybe this is one of their only outlets, of being gay. They're scared to pick up a gay paper even, or go to a gay place, and I think it's helpful to hear like what our journey is,
When I kissed a girl for the first time, I realized that that was it. I was like, this makes complete sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was it. It was just like, okay, I get it.
So that happened for you at 30?
Yeah.
Good for you, girl. Man, you were holding on like a pit bull to that heterosexuality, weren't you?
Well, I wasn't dating guys either. I just was like, I had no interest.
Yeah.
I was just like, why am I attracted to all these women? But I was afraid to act on it.
And yeah.
When I did, I was like, bam, done.
And has it
game
just,
over.
And then did it just go, my life became it, full of, is it Wizard of Oz, right? It's like
it
everything
complete,
was black and white and everything goes technicolor
to color?
Once you get to Oz, right?
It just made complete sense.
Truth is just so liberating, right?
Yeah.
And how did your family take it? I mean, this has probably been
not
a journey
good.
For you.
Yeah. Not good. It was tough. It was really hard. And I just said to my mom when I told her, and she was really upset and angry, and I just said, I'm the same kid that I was 2 seconds prior to telling you this stuff.
Yep.
It doesn't change who I am.
Yep.
And you can either have a relationship with me or you won't, because if that's how you're going to be, we won't have a relationship.
Yeah.
And I'll see y'all later. You know? And all my siblings were fantastic, and my cousins, my parents, not so much.
Your story is so similar to mine. So your dad was not at...
No,
the,
he was not
Idol.
At the Idol. They live down in Florida.
Okay.
So he did not come up. But
And
my dad is, it's something we don't talk about.
Yeah.
He knows, but he doesn't want to know. I mean, he's 84 years old, Old school.
Yeah.
But he called and congratulated me and told me he loves
big.
Me. And,
that's
you
big.
Know, and so knew I was doing the interview today and called, I called him because it's Father's Day.
Yeah.
But
those are huge steps, yeah. though. You know, we take them as, like, if it doesn't look exactly the way we want it to look, that it's, you know, it's not okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, it has its place, it sounds like, in your relationship. And it's, and he still loves you and he's still proud of you.
Totally.
So that sounds like there's openness and that it will continue to evolve.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I started telling my friends before I started. Yeah. Like, I was like, you guys, I think
that's
I'm gay.
That's the training ground.
I think I'm gay. They were like, who cares? We just want you to be happy.
Yeah.
And that wasn't until my one friend was like, then stop living the lie.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, it's, you know, I give a lot of credit to the younger girls that are coming, that are just completely comfortable with it, because I wish that I would have came out way earlier.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I want to know, you won a whole stash of stuff with this. I want to know, what are you going to do with your $1,000?
I don't know yet.
Yeah?
I don't know yet. Probably
let it earn its 0.001% interest in the bank.
You know,
it's kind of a time that cash is king, man. It's kind of a time to have some, which
right?
is good.
I'll probably pay down a credit card maybe with it
there
a little bit
go.
And spend a little, you know.
And American Airlines tickets anywhere you want to go in the US.
I think
US
I'm gonna go to Alaska.
Caribbean? Are you?
Mm-hmm. Maybe. So, or Hawaii. Yeah.
I don't know if you can go to Hawaii. That
oh,
may
no.
be one place you can't go, so maybe that'll just make Alaska.
All right, Alaska.
I think you can go to the U.S. 48, Bermuda, Bahamas, Mexico, Caribbean.
Damn. Well, you know.
You might want to go somewhere, you know, warm come December, November.
That's true. That's true. Alaska might not be so good.
You know, if you're going to go to Alaska, maybe do that in August, September.
Yeah.
Or you go
and
somewhere.
Actually, I've been to Alaska, so maybe
the
I'll
Caribbean
maybe go
in
to,
like November.
Back to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
You know, after hurricane season.
There you go. So. That would be fun. And you're going to be going to Toronto. You're going to start making some appearances.
It's very exciting.
First of all, you're going to be doing the SoFo Tea Dance July 19th. You've been invited along with the other top two, Marla and Brad, to perform for that.
Who
That's
are
going to be
both wonderful.
Really an amazing group of top 12
Absolutely.
Artists. And people, just people.
Yeah.
You know?
I've run into Brad a couple of times on the street, and he's super sweet. And I've run into Marla, a real sweet girl.
Yeah.
You know, so and other people from, it's just been fun. Jenny. Kate, you know, they're all a lot of fun. And Michael.
Yeah, sweet Michael.
He's so sweet.
You know, this experience in general, a positive experience?
Absolutely. One of the best experiences of my entire life.
You don't normally get 600 people screaming and shouting and yelling for you on stage.
And getting a shirt thrown at me. It's usually underwear.
Yeah.
No, I'm
there
kidding.
You go. I love it. I love it. And you're going to be performing in Toronto for Halloween, which is their big Halloween festival. Ever been to Toronto?
No. I'm
so
excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. Well, folks, just we will keep updating you on whether or not she's found love, on where all she is performing, and other appearances around. But honestly, I think you're just a great representative of the gay community, which is important to me, that somebody is out and proud and really just as honest in an interview as you are when you're performing on stage, and just as generous. So
thank you.
Amy Kelly's the
thank
new Windy City
much.
Gay Idol, the seventh one we've got.
It's exciting.
And, it's a lucky number for her.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And it's going to be
my number.
It's going to be a good summer. And everybody, we're going to hope that you'll check out the video from Windy City Gay Idol. We've already got one up, and Emmanuel's going to get another one up of outtakes. So there's more to come, and we'll definitely be checking in with Amy as she performs at Tea Dance and also at Halloween and throughout the year. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And it's good that you came out.
Yeah, it is.
In more ways than one.
Absolutely.
Leon's pails, rip off some more.
Steven, love the cookie dough. Love you. It's been a great week.
Love the dough, love the cookies.
Love the dough, love you. Sorry, we got a little political and a little entertainment.
I'm glad we did.
Got a little bit political.
I'm a little bit.
A little bit.
Entertainment.
Entertainment. Amy Kelly is going to be an awesome gay idol for us this entire year. Go out and see her and support her.
She's really amazing.
She's going to have to get her whole big website going.
Her freaking
A Little Piece of My Heart is some of the most best stuff ever. Ever.
Awesome, awesome. And if anybody has some stuff of her on YouTube, we're going to have to start linking it.
We mean her singing.
Yeah.
We don't mean the other stuff.
We don't know.
Well, there's other stuff too.
But she is single, ladies. So unless she hooked up in the past week and I don't know about it.
And as I said on the mic, anybody that sings like that, they know how to fuck.
There you go.
That's all I'm going to say.
Sorry, Mom, if you were listening. Amy Kelly's mom has heard Steven's
filthy mouth. Oh, she's heard me say that. She loved
it.
A lot.
Yeah, she loved it. So we'll be back, and next week, I don't know who's going to be on the show. It's just going to be a surprise. I've got to figure it out. Coming up, I think we've got Homer Mars on, talking about his new comedy show with a lot of very funny gay and lesbian folks. And Mitchell Fain is coming back, folks. He'll be here
Mitchell
in two
Fain.
Weeks. He will be back from his cruise for a very brief few weeks, and then he's off again. I
Where's
can't
he going
stand
again?
It.
Where's he going again?
He's going to Louisville. He's
to
all
do what?
Over. He's gonna be
to
in, he's gonna be funny guy.
Funny guy? What the hell is he doing?
He's doing a show.
What show?
I'm gonna let him tell.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, you have to wait.
Tell you right now, but if you're in town if he does it again this year, his Sandaland Diaries is some of the funniest stuff ever.
Well, we got till Christmas for that. Maybe Obama will have his stuff together by
then. Yes.
Have a good week, everybody.
Bye.
Take me to the river.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.